Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin a very interesting and important study in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, titled The Middle Wall of Partition. We need to accurately understand what this is referring to in relation to the temple of the Mosaic Law and the implications of that wall being broken down. This will be incredibly helpful to the serious Bible believer who reads the entire Bible from cover to cover, as this will help you to identify what it is that you are reading in books like Exodus and the Kings and Chronicles and Ezekiel and elsewhere, and in references to the temple found in New Testament books, including this epistle to the Ephesians that we're studying now. And before beginning our study, we want to share a letter we love from Sister Irene in Kentucky. Irene writes, "Dear Pastor Gregory Miller, just a note to tell you how much of a blessing your ministry has been to this widow. Yesterday was the anniversary of the day I lost my husband. You and Jenny sing so sweetly, and I look forward to listening and singing along with your songs. I have learned a lot from your studies. I appreciate your bravery in taking a stand against evil. God bless you and your entire congregation and keep you safe in Jesus' love." We thank you for writing, Irene, and we thank you for your prayers, your support, and your encouragement. We truly do love these letters, and if you'd like to write to us, you can send email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send your letter to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. It's not possible to always read every letter on the air, but we do try to respond to each in a timely manner, and we really appreciate those of you who do take time to write. And now we turn our attention to the message in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 to 15, titled The Middle Wall of Partition. This is part 1 of 2. So let's get into the book here. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 to 15. We're going to read those two verses. So read those with me. "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace." Now, we're getting into a text this morning that I have found is pretty misunderstood, and so I want just to put you on notice that some of you may have heard this preached differently. I'd have to say preached wrong. And so just all I ask is whatever you hear, you test it by what?
What the Bible says.
We're not a I was always raised Believers Fellowship, or I was always taught Believers Fellowship, or I think Believers Fellowship. We are a Bible Believers Fellowship.
Amen.
So as you listen, if you've heard it taught differently, just test it. And so I have to admit, for years I didn't grasp what this meant, and one of the reasons was because I was being taught wrongly. I was being taught things that weren't, you know, accurate. And that was in pertaining to the middle wall partition. Contrary to what you may have been taught, this is not the veil of the temple.
Amen.
Some of you might have been taught that, and it's not. Let's look again at the verse. It says, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one." Now look at that. What's he talking about? "Hath made both one." See, this is where you're going to get a lesson in context. We teach that lesson often here because that's where most error... There are really a couple of main reasons for error. Number one is ignoring the context. Number two is ignoring dispensations.
Amen.
And a lot of the things your loved ones who are professing Christians and they go to bad churches, they teach bad doctrines... They're not preaching heresy. They're preaching heresy in this dispensation. In other words, when a Free Will Baptist gets up there and says, "You must endure to the end. Well, throw him back in the Old Testament and put him in the Daniel 70th week or in the millennium, and he's preaching the truth.
Right.
And so that's what a lot of the error goes down to. But in this, its context is the issue. It says, "For he is our peace who hath made both one." So you should be asking yourself, who's he referring to? What's he referring to when he says both one? "And hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." And I've heard preachers go right off on saying that that's between us and God. That's not what it's saying. That's not what the context says. Who is us that the wall partitions between? Well, again, context. Look back at verses 11 and 12 from our last study. That's the context. In verses 11 and 12 it said, "Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands." That's where the wall is.
Mm-hmm.
It's between the circumcision and the uncircumcision. "That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel." Why? Because you're a Gentile.
Amen.
And there's a wall between you and Israel as a Gentile. In the Old Testament.
Like the outer court.
Yeah, we're going to get all into that. "And strangers of the covenants of promise, and having no hope and without God in the world." Why? Because if you're an uncircumcised Gentile, you had no hope.
Amen, that's right.
Now, we don't have facts and figures, but just to get throw this out there, there were a lot of people through history who joined themselves to Israel. Mm-hmm. And within a few generations, their children were just assimilated. They were Jews. And we don't have a list, but as we mentioned, we do know some examples, and a couple of those are the ladies, Ruth and Rahab. And they not only became Jews, the reason we know who they are is because they are in the genealogy of Jesus.
Amen.
So it happened. But there was a wall that separated Jew and Gentile. And God has torn down this wall of partition. And that's what this is talking about. He's not talking about the veil between you and God. He's talking about the wall of partition between Jew and Gentile. Now, this middle wall that he's referring to, we can't understand what Paul is telling us if we don't take time to learn about this middle wall of partition.
Okay.
Now, put on your seatbelt. I'm going to rebuke a couple of you, I'm sure. Because the reason why so many Christians don't understand Ephesians is because they don't read the whole Bible.
Amen.
And if you don't read the whole Bible, you're not going to understand the rest of it.
Amen.
Now, I know she's going to hang around with me. She's going to have to get used to this, but I'm going to use Olivia as a little example here. Charlie was just saying Wednesday that Olivia, listening to the Wednesday study, is getting it.
Amen.
Because why? Because of Greg? Well, I might be helping a little bit, but she's reading the Bible.
Amen.
Genesis, Exodus, and it's like a big supplosion, isn't it? Isn't it? How many of you have been there when you finally start doing what God says? He says to live by every word,
yes,
not just your devotional favorites.
Amen.
And you start reading every word, and suddenly you start thinking, what is going on here? I understand what he's saying. Yeah, that'll happen. I've been there. I went to churches for several years. They didn't preach nothing but come to church, tithe, go soul winning, you know, that stuff. And so I had trouble reading and understanding, but I kept reading and kept reading. And then I sat under a real teacher for a little while, and he would sit there and teach, and I'd be like, oh yeah, I know what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I remember that. And if it had been a Pentecostal church, I'd got up and run. It was Baptist, so I stayed seated. But I was excited.
Hallelujah.
Like, this is awesome. There has been no temple since 70 AD. How many of you know that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Most of you should if you've been coming here along, because we've been talking a lot about it. The temple that was in existence during Jesus' day was destroyed 70 AD. So it's understandable that most of us are not familiar with the middle wall partition, because that's what Paul's referring to. Paul's referring to what all of his Ephesus readers, even the Gentiles,
Even the Gentiles would have known what he's talking about here. You'll hear teachers say, well, it's strange that Paul would teach this since in the context, he's talking to Gentiles. And he is. In the context, he's talking to the uncircumcision.
Amen.
What they discount is what I just told you. There were a lot of Gentiles
Amen.
Who were coming to the Lord.
Amen.
That's something that's funny. Is as the Jews were going into apostasy, a lot of Gentiles were coming around. We're going to see in a minute, they had a huge area bigger than the area for the Jews next to the temple that was filled with Gentiles. And you go look at Acts chapter 2 in the day of Pentecost. I mean, these were people who came from all over the world, and a lot of them were proselytes.
Yep.
Proselytes, proselytizing, that's not a bad word. That's liberals spit when they hear it. But proselytizing to them is you're trying to convince people that you're right and they're wrong. No, we're trying to convince people that Jesus Christ is right and they're wrong. And they call that proselytizing. But proselytes are people who willfully convert. You see, unlike Islam, we're not murdering people.
Amen.
Islam, since Muhammad, its founder, has killed people if they would not convert. Christianity has never done that. Catholicism has, but Catholicism isn't Christianity.
Amen.
Christianity doesn't kill people for not converting. And so we understand that this middle wall partition existed because Gentiles were coming to the temple. And if you open your Bibles to 1 Kings 6, we're going to spend just a few minutes looking at this. What we call the first temple, because we're talking about temples on the earth on the Temple Mount. Now, if you were here Wednesday, and folks, I'm not planning this. It's awesome how it works out so many times that our Revelation studies prep you for the Sunday studies. And if you don't come on Wednesdays, you're missing some things, but you can get it online. And if you miss a Sunday, you can get it online. But one of these days we're going to have copies out on the desk for people who miss if they can watch it on DVD. But
Amen.
Right now it's just been too much to juggle. But First Kings, as we get into that, one of the most important steps to understanding God's Word is to familiarize yourself with the temple. Now, where she's reading in Exodus, you get the blueprint of the tabernacle, which is then kind of translated into the temple.
Mm-hmm.
So what Moses got in the tabernacle is representative of what would be in Solomon's temple. And then it's tore down, there'll be another one, and that is like a larger scale model of what we're seeing here, actually. But in 1 Kings 6:1, this phrase, the house of the Lord. Now this is again an example of good, Bible-believing, fundamental pastors teaching error. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. It says, it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt. That happened in the book of Exodus. In the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, the month of Ziph. I love that. I'd love to say my birthday is Ziph the 18th. Which is the second month, Nisan's the first,
Amen.
That he began to build the what?
House of the Lord.
Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord?
Yeah.
This is the house of the Lord.
Amen.
According to the Bible. Now your grandma might have taught you different. Your pastor may have taught you different. But God says that's the house of the Lord. This is not.
Amen.
And now, I'm not a radical on this, and I'm just telling you the truth. Why a Bible Believers Fellowship building won't have one of those things right there.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
That's a pagan, phallic symbol
yep.
that the Roman Catholic Church put on there because they're pagans.
Yeah.
But then Baptists didn't have enough sense to take them off their buildings.
Yeah.
So I don't like those, but I'm not going to make it a part of my ministry to go around trying to tell all the preachers to take those down. But
Amen. But
regardless of whether it has a phallic symbol on the top of it or not, they call them steeples. But this building is not the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Neither is this.
Amen.
We love this building. It's a beautiful building.
Amen.
But even when you're all in here, this isn't the house of the Lord. In this dispensation, you are the house of the Lord.
Amen.
You don't come to church to meet with God. You come to church bringing God with you to meet with others in His presence. See? Got to understand that stuff. It'll just throw you way off. And that's how, you know what? The religious denominations use this stuff to control people. They make you think you've got to come to this building. They have their own priesthood. Listen, in the Bible, you're a priest.
Amen.
We don't need a priesthood in the Bible.
Amen.
So you, Father so-and-so, he's a fake. He's not a priest.
Amen.
And it's not just Catholic, by the way. It's Orthodox, Lutherans, and others call themselves Father and say they're priests. You are your own priest. You have one mediator between God and man. That's the man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I'm not a mediator. I'm not here to stand between you and the Lord. I'm a teacher to help you understand His Word so that when you access Him one-on-one, you know His Word.
Amen.
That's it. So, in this dispensation that we're reading about, it's prior to the one you're in, and it is the Mosaic Law, and the Mosaic Law required a sacrifice, and so you had the tabernacle and now the temple. And that is the house of the Lord in this dispensation. And in the dispensation of Mosaic Law that we're talking about. Now, that's not even true, but once again will be. There will be a house of the Lord. We'll get to that in a minute. So 1 Kings 6:2 says, "And the house which King Solomon built for the Lord, the length thereof was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 20 cubits, and the height thereof 30 cubits. Now 60 cubits is 60. That's what 60. And those of you who know the Gettysburg Address would understand that. But it's approximately 90 feet. And then 20 cubits is 30 feet wide. So it's 90 times 30. You come up with 2,700 square feet. So if you have a house that's like most houses are 1,200, 1,500 square feet, you get an idea of how much space this takes, almost twice the size of your house. The height was 30 cubits, which is 45 feet tall. So those are some high ceilings. I love high ceilings. And, well, who wrote that there? Those are some high ceilings. Yes, amen.
It's a miracle.
But here's a picture. Yeah. Here's a picture for just giving you a little idea of what you read about. What is amazing is the size of this. You see how tall these ceilings are, but the whole thing is layered in gold.
Yep.
I mean, I've seen very little gold in my life, even on rings and earrings and everything. I can't imagine. Can you imagine this, just this room? Layered in gold. If you put it on the floor, you put it on the walls, you put it on the ceiling, wouldn't that have been awesome? That explains why they didn't have church in there. It scuffed up the floor like there's no tomorrow. You know, that's, you know, I'm sure the Rothschilds will probably have plenty of money for the Antichrist to do that if he wants to. So. But on one side you had 5 candlesticks, and then also on the other side, so those things lit up. If you put those in a room like this, it would light it up. Can you imagine what that was like to step in that radiance of that room? Gold, ceiling, floor, walls, and 5 candlesticks. Each has 7 lamps. So, you know, you're talking about 35 on this side, 70 total lit up and just reflecting off of those gold walls, ceiling. I mean, that just had to be something else. And then you see in the back is the most holy place. And that's where the Ark of the Covenant was. And how many of you know that the Ark of the Covenant had on the top of it a mercy seat?
Right.
Amen.
That's the throne of Jesus.
Amen.
Think of that. When you read about the mercy seat, you remember that's the throne of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, verse 3 says, "And the porch before the temple of the house, 20 cubits was the length thereof according to the breadth of the house, and 10 cubits was the breadth thereof before the house." This porch was also called the court of Israel, where no women were allowed. Yeah.
Is that where the gathering of Jesus took place,
Solomon's porch? Is that the same?
That's not the same.
Ah, okay.
It was 20 by 20 which cubits, which is 30 by 30 feet. On each side, 10 by 20 cubits, which was 15 by 30 feet, in front of the temple. So this is a basic blueprint here, that you have the porch, and then you'd enter into the holy place. Now, the sacrifice was out here. You had to enter with sacrifice. You entered by the shed blood of the animal. And then you had the holy place, and then sometimes you'll hear this called the Holy of Holies. The King James Bible calls it the most holy place. I like that better. I just think the most holy place. And that's how the temple itself was laid out. And there was also an outer court where the Gentiles were restricted. See? These outer courts and areas changed considerably over time when you compare Solomon's temple, which was built around 970 and torn down around 586. And you compare that with Herod's temple, which was the temple that Ezra, Nehemiah, and those folks went back and rebuilt. And then Herod came along and made it immaculate. And it was actually wasn't finished until right before it was torn down. Wow. It was under construction even when Jesus was here. And right as it was being completed is when it was torn down. But here's a comparison just to give you an idea. The courts were much smaller areas, and everything was just a little smaller. Herod, wanted to be known as a great leader and a great builder, so he built this massive thing. Now, for you ladies, you'll be happy to know that they put a whole court in front of the court of Israel, and that was called the women's courtyard. And then out in front of that is the area that we're going to talk about in just a minute, where the Gentiles were. But that gives you a better idea, a picture of that. Paul's reference was to Herod's temple courts. Of course, that's what he was writing about. And we're going to watch this little clip to give you an idea about the temple. Thank you.
In due course, the Romans appointed a man to rule Palestine on their behalf. His name was Herod. Perhaps in an attempt to atone for the massive influx of pagan influence, Herod then decided to expand the second temple in Jerusalem, the center of Jewish worship and cultic sacrifice. He created a vast platform on top of Temple Mount. Passing through the vast outer courtyard, worshippers first entered the court of women. This is as far as Jewish females were allowed to go. From here, the Nicanor Gate led to the court of the Israelites, where the temple stood, and where priests performed animal sacrifice on a large altar. The temple was still under construction in 30 AD. When Jesus visited the temple with his apostles, and it would not be completed until 30 years later, shortly before its destruction by Roman forces.
When you think about that, 10 is considered the number of the Gentiles, and so it would have been about 10 years that they were able to enjoy that before the Gentiles came and destroyed it. Just irony, I guess. So what you saw is the temple layout, and outside was this huge area that where Gentiles were allowed. And it was huge because, like I said, there was a huge number of Gentiles that would show up. And then you had this court of women here in front of the what we would call the temple proper. And then there was this thing called the wall of partition, which is... you don't notice it much because it's not very tall. It was just one of these, kind of like you put a little fence in front of your yard, just as a little, you know, you can still see over it, but you have a place where you can walk through and get in and out. That's the way this was set up. And this wall of partition went all the way around, and what was amazing was that everywhere there was a little entrance area, there was a plaque. And this plaque was a plaque of warning to us Gentiles. And this plaque said, translated in English, of course, course, any Gentile found beyond this sign will be himself responsible for his own death.
Wow.
And that's what Paul is talking about when he talks about the wall of partition that stood between the circumcision and the uncircumcision.
Wow.
You could not enter into that area. But as we saw in our study of animal sacrifice in the millennium Wednesday night, this was Wednesday night, we studied something very similar. Again, didn't do it on purpose. Just the way it worked out. The wall and this sign are missing from the future temple during the kingdom age. Now, this is one of those moments. I remember I was reading Ezekiel. I'd read it before, you know, a number of times. And then this time I was reading it and I was thinking, wait a minute. Where's the candlestick and the... I started realizing this is weird. This temple doesn't have some things. And I thought I was missing it. I'm flipping around looking for where those things are listed. It wasn't there.
The book of Ezekiel speaks of yet another temple, a fourth temple for the kingdom age. John Schmidt of the Messianic Temple Ministries has built a very detailed scale model based on the temple dimensions as given by Ezekiel. He finds some interesting differences, however, between this particular temple and the previous temples.
All of Israel's previous temples have had a wall that has gone around the area between the outer court and the inner court. It has a wall of about 3 feet high with openings in it. This wall is called the Wall of Partition. At each of the openings in the wall is a sign. And on this sign it says, any Gentile found beyond this sign will be himself responsible for his own death. This wall is not here. Did Ezekiel make a mistake in leaving it out? Or is there a reason it is gone?
The answer to that question, John believes, can be found in the book of Ephesians. Jesus hath made both one, Jew and Gentile, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us.
Wow. Glory to God.
Amen.
There's some things about being born this day and age that you're just like, man, Lord, this ain't fun. But then there's other things about you like, well, I'm glad I wasn't born back then.
Amen.
Amen. I'm serious. I mean, I wouldn't want to be a Jew or Gentile. If you're a Gentile, you got this middle wall partition keeping you out from the presence of the Lord. And if you're a Jew, you can't eat bacon. I wouldn't have been happy either one. So this middle wall is gone. It's gone now. It's gone in the millennial kingdom. That's the amazing thing about this. Now, here's the thing is, again, dispensations and not understanding your Bible. The Temple Mount Faithful is an organization. They're getting ready to rebuild that temple in Israel for the Antichrist. They don't know. They wouldn't say that, but that's really what it's about. And because of Ezekiel, they're promoting the idea that this temple will be for all nations and that it will not have the restrictions that Herod's temple had. And that temple is going to be a mess, folks. That tribulation temple is going to be a mess. And they may let the Gentiles in now there, but right in the middle of the tribulation period, as it's called by some, Daniel's 70th week, right in the middle of that, the Antichrist is going to walk in there.
King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.